Welcome back to Your News Now on WHBY. I'm Terry Kovarik. Nonprofit organizations aid individuals and communities that financial institutions and other organizations are unable to help. They thrive on corporate and individual donations to meet their missions. However, more of those donations are being made online, and computerized directories contain contact information. That's made nonprofits targets of cyber terrorist attacks and other attacks. Good news is there are federal funds to help nonprofits protect their cyber systems and direct crime that's targeted at nonprofit employees and benefactors. Joining us on the Settlers Best Credit Union Talk and Text line is Dan Burns with McMahon Engineers Architects, which help with self-defense and cybersecurity. Dan, thanks so much for joining us on Your News Now. Why are nonprofits seemingly ripe for in-person and cyber attacks and other crimes these days?
Well, that's a great question, Terry. You know, really, as you described, their mission is to provide community services, right? So if you think about a house of worship, for example, they're so focused on providing the mission to their congregation that they don't have discretionary dollars to spend on security-related activities and in beefing up their infrastructure so that they're not victims of any type of attack, whether that be a physical attack from an active assailant or a cybersecurity attack. So it's really important that, you know, these federal dollars come down through the state of Wisconsin, and that non-for-profits for the third year now have the ability to apply for this non-security grant program.
Okay, make mention of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. They're offering these help for nonprofits in the form of the Nonprofit Security Grant Program. Can you explain a little bit how this works and how charities, nonprofits can get a hold of these funds?
Absolutely. So FEMA, as we know, is the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and they're responsible for not only responding to disaster situations, which is what we normally see FEMA doing when we look at flooding situations or tornadoes. They respond and help communities recover. But they also have a very key component to their mission that's called preparedness. And these grants are really about preparing organizations to mitigate the risks that they have for any kind of disruption in their business continuity. So through the Wisconsin Emergency Management, they can obtain up to $150,000 for a not-for-profit that's registered as a 501c3 corporation with the IRS. So if you're a not-for-profit, you have a 501c3 status, you're eligible to apply for the grant funding. The grant funding is very competitive, so not all applicants will be awarded grant funds. It is a scoring system that then FEMA and Wisconsin Emergency Management score the risk of the organization and then award accordingly. So again, they can get up to $150,000 through the grant.
Now, your company's located in Neenah here. So, I mean, what can nonprofits that qualify for this funding expect if and when they reach out to you?
There are a couple of things that a grant applicant needs to take care of right away. And this is something that the professionals at McMahon that are part of our security and safety team can help these nonprofit organizations. The first thing you have to do is do an assessment of your current security status within your nonprofit organization. So there is an online tool that the Wisconsin Emergency Management folks direct you to. We can also help you with that assessment. An assessment has to be completed, and the assessment range from things like your physical security all the way through the types of training that you have for your employees to avoid a physical attack. And they basically rank you on whether that's, you know, in place and you're using it regularly, or it's not in place and you have to develop it. So it's a self-scoring tool that you can do, but we also provide that security assessment for you, because here's the issue for many nonprofits. You can go ahead and score yourself, but once you get that score and once you see your gaps in security, you may not know what to do next. And that's where the professionals of McMahon come in. We can come in, we can help you with the assessment, we fill it out, we get you grant ready so that you can apply when the grant opens. So the first thing is an assessment. The second thing is they have to apply for a unique entity ID. and that's free of charge to do with the federal government. It's very easy to apply for, very easy to fill out. We can help you guide that. Then the last thing you have to have is a mission statement. And if your organization doesn't have a mission statement, we can certainly help you write one. But those are the three components in order to apply for the grant. Once the award is made, the recipient can go out and purchase things to harden their security. If a not-for-profit wanted to purchase a camera system or locks for their doors that are key fob related, they can go out and purchase that after the grant has been awarded to them. And as long as they keep their receipts and they implement all of that within the grant period, they can get reimbursement from the state. So it's a reimbursement-based grant system.
Are there any low-tech, though effective, protective measures for nonprofits that they can use for their high-tech systems for their employees?
Sure. Low-tech systems, I would say, certainly are door locks. The first thing I want to do is find out what assets they're trying to protect. Okay, so let's continue on with the example of the house of worship. Obviously, the assets that they have are the congregation. And they may be located in one particular area during church services on a Sunday, and they're in that area, and that's the important asset that we have to protect. So when we look at the physical layout of the building, we want to put as many layers of security between the outside of the building and to the inside of the sanctuary where the congregation is worshiping. So that's really important for us to build those layers. And some of those layers are very simple, like very good lighting. Do you have good lighting? So on a Sunday afternoon, if you're holding a worship or you're holding a worship on a Tuesday evening and it's dark outside, do you have sufficient lighting in the parking lot? Do you have cameras that are monitored that people can see who's coming in? Are the doors locked during worship service? Do you have a security team that's available? So those are all layers of security that can be implemented by an organization to help prevent an attack.
Well, what do you say to the nonprofits who, you know, by their nature are there to help people without a lot of hurdles to leap in the form of security, screening documents, online entries, etc., that this can be done as unobtrusively as possible?
The unobtrusive kinds of security measures that we do are, like I said, the lighting. Most people don't really think about lighting that way. We always look for ways of lighting the perimeter of the building, particularly in areas that are dark and particularly in areas that are visible from the street. So if a patrol car, a police officer, is patrolling the area and looks into the parking lot, they can see a lot of the building or a lot of the doors that are there. Putting in locks, a lock system, is very important. You know, making sure doors close. I'll give you an example. We had a client, it was a school system. They had almost everything right in terms of their security program. They had a security response officer, or safety response officer from the police department. The only thing that was the problem was they had doors that were outside the gymnasium that didn't close and lock sufficiently. So in the warmer weather, when kids were in the gymnasium, they would often prop the doors open for ventilation. But when they would leave, they would close those doors, and those doors wouldn't sufficiently close. And what we know about school shootings is that school shootings, the majority of those shootings are from students who are currently enrolled in the school or who have graduated from that school, and they know the layout of the school. So they're a vulnerable target by the very nature that those doors didn't close and lock. So again, that's a very unobtrusive way that we can make suggestions to a client to say, look, you got to put some money into closing these doors and getting new doors that lock, or you need to put an alarm on there so that it alarms at a central station and you know that that door is propped open and you can address it accordingly.
What would be some final advice to nonprofits to ensure that they are getting their employees the safest coverage they can get, but also are protecting their cyber systems? One final word we'll give you here.
I think it's important for everybody to understand a couple of things. One, when we go out and we talk about security, a lot of people believe that it won't ever happen to them. It'll never happen here, okay? And when you look at the Uvalde school shooting, it was one of the most horrific shootings that occurred last year, right? In that scenario, that town has a population of 15,000 people. My guess is if you would have asked them prior to that event, could you ever have something bad happen here? They would have probably said, no, this is such a small community. We're close-knit. Everyone knows each other. Nothing like this could ever happen here, but yet it did, right? The other thing for people to understand is that for the first 5 minutes or so, they're kind of on their own when there's something bad happening. So when there's an active assailant that comes into a building or comes onto the property of a nonprofit organization, those events are generally over within 5 minutes. And when you look at how long it takes police to respond, it's usually greater than 5 minutes. So for example, if an active assailant is starting to pull a gun and pulls into the parking lot and wants to do harm to people inside, that event starts the timer. It takes about 1 to 2 minutes for people to understand that they're under threat. It takes another minute to call 911. On average, it takes 1 minute for the dispatcher to gather the information appropriately so they can dispatch the police in a timely fashion. It takes the police anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes to respond, which is a phenomenal response time. But all of those things add up to greater than 5 minutes. So for the first several minutes of a bad situation, you have to be prepared to respond by yourself. That's why we talk about layers of security between the bad guy and the good guy. That's why we talk about training for staff so they know how to do verbal de-escalation. They know how to run. They know how to hide. They know how to fight if they have to. So we do all of those trainings for nonprofit organizations and others, and this is all covered by the grant. The grant dollars can go toward training your staff. It can go to hardening your facility from a physical security perspective and hardening your cyber infrastructure.
Dent Burns with McMahon Engineers Architects, thanks so much for being with us on Your News Now.